Good day, and welcome to the Barratt Trading Analyst Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to David Thomas. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I've got Neil with me. Today, we're announcing our trading update for the 19 weeks to the 8th of May. Overall, we've seen a good performance in the period. Market conditions have remained strong, underpinned by continued improvements in the availability and pricing of mortgages. During the period, we launched 51 new developments, and we operated from an average of 376 active outlets, including joint ventures in the period. Given the strength of our sales rate, we have sold through some outlets a little quicker than anticipated, but we still expect to see controlled outlet growth next year. Net private reservations per week averaged 274 during the 19-week period, equivalent to a sales rate of 0.75. In the last 11 weeks since our interim results, we have seen our sales rate strengthen, up 4% on the prior year at 0.79. Operationally, the business is in good shape. We are delivering a quality product backed by high service standards, maintaining our HBF five-star status for the seventh consecutive year. We are the only national house builder to achieve this. On build costs, we're seeing some inflationary pressure on build materials. We are continuing to see pricing and availability pressure on subcontract labor. Overall, for FY 2016, we continue to expect a 3%-4% increase in total build costs. In terms of housing policy, we anticipate a continuation of the supportive environment, as demonstrated by the extension of the Help to Buy scheme to 2021 and the increase in the government Help to Buy scheme to 40% in London. We are seeing strong demand for this new 40% scheme in London. With the strength of the market, we've been able to continue to build our forward order sales position, with forward sales as at the 8th of May, up around 10% at 2.84 billion. We expect to start the new financial year around 25% forward sold on private completions. This is in line with our target for private sales, given production lead times and mortgage offer expiries. Turning to land, we have been encouraged by the continuing level of highly attractive opportunities that we are securing. This, as well as the extension of Help to Buy out to 2021, has encouraged us to increase our land approvals this year at levels that meet or exceed our hurdle rates. We now expect to approve between 21,000 and 23,000 plots in the year. To maintain a high return on capital, we are continuing to seek to defer land payments where possible and expect land credits to be in line with our target of around one-third of the owned land bank. In London, we're focusing on land opportunities in Zone 3 to 6, as we are seeing limited opportunities in Zone 1 and parts of Zone 2 that meet our minimum hurdle rates. The London market remains strong at price points below 600,000. At the high end, sales rates have slowed, but we are still seeing reasonable demand. In the period, 44 private units over 1 million have been reserved in London, compared to 46 in the prior year. On net cash, we now expect to have year-end net cash position of between 300 million and 350 million, largely reflecting the timing of land payments. The market outlook remains positive, and we will enter the new financial year with a strong forward order book. We remain confident in the execution of our strategy, aimed at disciplined volume growth, the improvement of key financial metrics, through a focus on efficiency and the delivery of attractive cash returns. So we are well positioned for further progress and performance, driving towards our 2017 targets of a minimum gross margin of 20% and a minimum return on capital of 25%. Neil and I will now be happy to take your questions.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Aynsley Lammin from Canaccord. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning. Two questions from me, please. Just firstly, on the land market, obviously you're still seeing very excellent opportunities. Just wondered if that's getting better, particularly outside of London and the regions. Are you seeing actually, you know, land opportunities that are higher gross margins? And secondly, just on cancellation rates, wondered if you'd given information in terms of what they've done recently over the last 11 weeks. Thanks.
Ainsley, hi, good morning. I mean, just in terms of the land market, I mean, I think it's difficult to gauge, certainly since February, whether we're seeing better opportunities. But if you're looking back over the last 12 months, I think the fact that we're able to increase our land intake is a good indicator that there are plenty of opportunities out in the market. So we're very comfortable that we can acquire land at or above the hurdle rates, and we're also continually trying to improve the intake margins that we have. I think the second point which we touched on in the announcement this morning is that we've said previously that Zone 1 and let's say the edge of Zone 2 is much more difficult in terms of land acquisition. We've tried in London to look at larger projects. We're clearly bid on appropriate government projects in terms of government land release, and that has tended to push us out to Zone 3 to 6. So what we've seen is that, you know, the last site that we contracted on in Zone 1, edge of Zone 2, was in September 14. Now, that's not that we're not making offers, because we are in the market if something appropriate comes up and looking to make offers, but the reality is our offers are not being accepted. In terms of, just briefly on cancellation rates, I mean, we've really moved away from publishing the cancellation rate. I mean, we're giving a net private reservation rate, i.e. net of cancellations, and there's not been anything unusual in terms of cancellation trends, either in the last 19 weeks or in the last couple of years. So it's generally a very stable profile in terms of cancellations.
That's great. Thank you very much.
We will now take our next question from Will Jones from Redburn. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Morning, guys. Two for me, please. First was just around site numbers, which, as you say in the statement, I think 376, which is running down 6-7% year over year, and I guess that's been seen by others in the sector as well. Can I just understand how much of that do you think is due to just what has been a firmer rate of sale and therefore the earlier exit versus what might be still a tougher opening site situation on the other side? And I guess pulling it back into numbers, I think previously you'd hoped to be back up at around 400 by summer of this year. Clearly that looks tough now, but can you give us any idea in number terms where you might be looking over the next kind of year or so on site numbers? And then just maybe a bit more detail around London, sorry if I could please, just whether you could kind of give us any flavour as to whether sales rates versus the plus 4% for the group, is London notably the side of the line against that, and any comment you'd make around pricing in London as well. Thank you.
Okay, fine. Well, if I just talk about London and then Neil will talk about site numbers. I mean, generally when you're looking at the outlook for us, we are looking, whether it's at site numbers or completion volumes, at a sort of 3-5% view going forward in terms of how we can increase the numbers. But Neil will talk about where we're heading on site numbers. Just in terms of London, is that I think, you know, we've got to sort of step back a little bit and say, well, we know that in London the market is being undersupplied. So in overall terms, let's say annual demand somewhere close to 50, annual output below 30. When you look at composition of the supply, there is too much supply relative to demand at higher end price points. I don't think that's any different to anything we've said over the last 12 months, and I don't think it's any different to anything that the market is saying. When you look at the bulk of our production and sales, the bulk of our production and sales is at prices below £600,000. And what we're seeing in the marketplace is that there is very strong demand for product at levels below 600,000 prior to the launch of Help to Buy 40%. And since the launch of Help to Buy 40%, there is greater demand at below 600,000. When you look at above 600,000, and we've given some information this morning with regard to reservations at prices above £1 million. I mean, we've got to choose a figure, so we chose £1 million. And what we're saying is that year on year, the reservation numbers are very similar.
Yep.
Firstly. And secondly, if you look at the stock position year on year, our stock position is actually slightly lower this year in London than it was last year. But nonetheless, we are conscious of the slowing in the marketplace, and therefore all of our sites that have got product at prices, let's say for ease, above 600,000, we're obviously reviewing our sales strategy. We're reviewing whether we can replan product. We're looking at everything that we can in relation to those sites. But I think we've got to recognise the rate of sale has slowed, but it hasn't stopped.
Yep. Got you. And I think there was a story as well linking you possibly with looking at doing a bulk sale on some of the JV sites as well to maybe institutions. Is that an avenue you'd explore in that review of the higher end stuff?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, yeah. It's not a story that we've ever denied. So
yeah.
I think the reality is if you look at our profile in terms of bulk sales, we started Nine Elms selling in about November 14. And we did a bulk deal at Nine Elms in December 14 for one of the towers. As you know, at Nine Elms, we're in a joint venture with London and Quadrant. And the view was that to provide some element of de-risking, get the site off to a flying start and so on, we should do a bulk deal, which we did.
Yep.
We've more recently, so round about July last year, we did a bulk deal at our site at Enderby Wharf in Greenwich. Again, in a joint venture arrangement there with a different joint venture partner, and the view was that was a good deal for us to do.
Yeah.
So I think we've always been happy to look at bulk deals, and we are continuing to do that, both in respect of Nine Elms and other sites that we have in London, which have product both above and below the £600,000 price point.
Yeah, great, thank you.
Just to pick up on the outlet question, Will, in broad, we're seeing a slightly improved time for sites getting through the planning process versus, say, 5 years ago. So we're not seeing a systemic slowing down versus our expectations, at least, of sites getting open. I think what is driving the numbers down below where we had thought we might be is simply, as you can see from healthy sales rates, sites are getting closed out slightly quicker than we had anticipated. That's not to say... clearly planning is local, and that's not to say side by side we don't have some local issues, but it isn't a systemic driver of what we're seeing. It is much more about the sales rates. And looking into next year, we are, and we have said this morning, that our expectation is for to see outlet count on average go up. Now, I would expect that'll be within the sort of disciplined growth range that we previously talked about.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Will.
We will now take our next question from Gregor Koglitz from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I've got a few questions. First is just on HPI. Can you give us maybe a little bit of a sense where you see it sort of over the last, say, maybe calendar 16 so far, and maybe to the extent that you can comment regionally, I guess London would be maybe coming back to that. And the other question is on, I was just looking at your joint venture order book, which obviously is a heavily London-exposed profile, I believe, and it seems to be at least volume, from a volume perspective, coming off. Maybe you can shed some light on what's happening and maybe tie that in how the sort of earnings profile of the JVs is likely to develop. And then the final question is just coming back on your comment on sort of controlled growth, 3-5%. Obviously, you haven't changed the FY16 volume guidance at this point. Maybe a bit early to comment on 17, but it's fast approaching, I think, a month away. So maybe you can give us a sense sort of directionally what you're thinking as we go into FY17 from a volume standpoint, because obviously you've already given us some helpful guidance on returns and margins. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Gregor, good morning. Just in terms of dividing them off, I mean, I think if Neil covers the HPI points, and I'll pick up on the joint venture points and the volume. So just on the joint ventures, I think, again, Gregor, as we've said previously, probably two things. I mean, first of all, the joint venture order book is clearly very concentrated around particular developments. We have a limited number of joint ventures, and some of the joint ventures are disproportionately large. So unlike the main order book, where it's a more blend of the whole business, the joint venture order book is very much about specific sites. And if we sort of caveat it with, we have said and we are saying this morning that we recognise that the top end of the London market has slowed. When you then look at what is in our joint ventures, so just to give you three examples in London and one example out of London. So West Hendon is a site that sits in our joint venture position, and it, you know, that site is selling very, very well. Price points below 600,000, very strong demand. Enderby Wharf sits in the joint venture order book. Very, very strong sales in Enderby Wharf in the last 12 months. I mean, we're taking really significant numbers off Enderby Wharf this year, June 16. And then Nine Elms and Fulham Riverside sit within the joint venture position. As we've demonstrated by the numbers that we've given on the call for above a million, you know, these sites are selling, but they're clearly selling at slower rates. And then in the regional market, we have a joint venture in Milton Keynes with Places for People, and that is really flying. I mean, we've seen huge sales at our Milton Keynes site with Places for People. So it's kind of mixed, but it's very much about concentration and product availability in relation to certain sites. In terms of the volume outlook, I mean, we're not updating anything on volume today. I think we're probably at levels of almost kind of spurious accuracy. You know, we've said 15,750 and 1,000 joint venture completions. I think we've always said that we think the risks are on the upside, but we're kind of comfortable with that position. And then looking forward, we would expect that the principal business, i.e. through our P&L, that will see growth in the order of 3-5%. The joint venture figure is something that we'll guide on in terms of volume and profit in September, but it will probably be something similar in FY17 to what we've seen in FY16.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question.
Sorry, Gregor, you talked about HPI. I think what we said at the interim was that we thought the HPI component of our average selling price growth was effectively low single digit. Now, you asked us for our forecast for 2016 calendar, which is
No, year to date.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, the way that we estimate HPI is by looking at the same stock unit at the same location on a 12-month basis, and of course, in a relatively short sales window, it can be difficult to build up sufficient volume to be a meaningful statistic. But I don't think we've seen a huge shift in those trends anecdotally. But I stress that's not a particularly analytical answer, but that's in part just because there is a limit to how many of the same stock at the same site we're selling over a 12-month gap in a short period of time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gregor.
We will now take our next question from Clyde Lewis from Peel Hunt. Please go ahead.
Morning, David. Morning, Neil. And I suspect Abby is there as well. A couple, if I may, maybe a sort of a little bit away from London, but probably a similar sort of question to sort of Will in terms of sort of sales rates and differences across the regions. I mean, I suspect the majority of the regions have been pretty strong, but maybe you can point out sort of the highs and lows across the region. And the second one I had was on sort of the hurdle rates in the land market. Have you sort of formally given the regions or London sort of higher targets, given the sort of availability of land that's obviously still very high out there, and sort of tweaked it in any way at all from that direction?
Okay, if I cover those quite, first of all, good morning. In terms of land targets, I mean, we've always operated for the last 7 years, we've operated on a minimum hurdles of gross margin at 20 and return on capital at 25. Equally, we have higher hurdles, which we haven't published, and we're not going to publish, but those higher hurdles are clearly attributed to projects that we consider to be of higher risk. So the best example would be where we're building towers in London, and therefore we're clearly putting foundations in to a much greater depth. We therefore have more risk associated with work in the ground, and therefore we apply a higher hurdle rate. And we absolutely have not reduced hurdles where the market is more difficult. So, for example, in London, we haven't reduced the hurdle rates. And we said previously that in 2014, we had kind of nudged the hurdle rates up slightly, albeit we kept our published at 20 and 25%. I think in terms of regional trends, I mean, we're seeing overall 4% reservation improvement for the last 11 weeks. We talked about high-end London, so leave that to one side. I would say, as a generalisation, we're seeing very, very strong reservation trends across the country. If you went back 3 or 4 years ago, we would have said that markets like the northeast of England, the west of Scotland, south of Wales, around Cardiff, that those markets were quite challenging. Areas of large public sector employment, and we were finding it difficult to necessarily get the same traction that we had in other markets. But those markets are now strong. I mean, we're seeing good sales trends in the northeast, west of Scotland, south Wales. The Scottish market, I think, is an interesting one in that although they have helped to buy, they have helped to buy at materially lower price points, and those price points are graduating down over the next 2 years. And demand in Scotland, we've generally seen, despite different help to buy or no help to buy, the demand in Scotland that we've seen over the last few years has been good. We recognise that the Aberdeen market is a little more challenged than some of our markets, but nonetheless, we're still selling well in the Aberdeen marketplace. So overall, I think it's a strong picture regionally.
Thanks so much.
Good, thanks, Clyde.
I'll take our next question from Andy Murphy from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Morning, gentlemen. I've got three probably relatively quick questions. First of all, just with a change of the mayor in London, I was wondering whether you had any thoughts or comments around how different policies might come into play with that change? Secondly, we're obviously quite a long way through your original three-year plan. I was wondering whether you had any guidance or thoughts around at what point you might choose to recalibrate that plan, or whether you're going to see it through to the end before changing things. And then finally, I was just interested to ask your views about the HBF quality award that you've maintained. I was wondering what impact do you think that might have on perception or sales if for whatever reason you didn't manage to maintain it in the future for whatever reason.
Okay. Thanks, Andy. Good morning.
Morning.
I think if I just run through those, we'll try to be reasonably quick. I mean, in terms of the position with regard to the mayor, I think it would be fair to say that it is early days. We recognise that on the campaign trail, both candidates were saying that they felt around 50,000 homes needed to be built in London, which clearly from our point of view has got to be a big positive. The more houses we build, the better. For Sadiq Khan in particular, he emphasised the importance of there being significant affordable content on sites, and the indication was up to 50%. I think you have to put that in context that a lot of the London sites that we operate on are already operating at or above 40% affordable, firstly. And secondly, as and when starter homes come into the market, they will be part of the affordable category from a statutory perspective, and therefore they will be part of the 106 requirements in respect of affordable. So delivering 50% affordable doesn't look like a big ask, given where we are presently. In terms of the three-year plan, I mean, I think really now, in terms of where we are, that really revolves around dividend intentions. And we've said that we will update the market in September when we do the preliminary results regarding that. In terms of the HBF Quality Award, well, I think it's got to be a positive to be delivering product that is high quality, that the customer is saying that they would recommend us to other people. And we've had the recommend rating at 5-star for 7 years. So I think we've demonstrated that we have a good track record in terms of delivery. So that has to be a positive. Having said that, I don't think we've ever said that, well, because we're 5-star, that means we sell a lot more houses. I don't think that's what it's about. So I think it's about, if we get it right first time, it will save us money. I mean, it's got to be the case that building the house properly first time is a much more efficient way to do it than having to go back and remediate and rectify. So I think internally, we are very focused on a message of right first time. And from that, we will get the accreditation, whether it be the HBF 5-star or whether it be the Pride in the Job from the NHBC. I mean, Pride in the Job Awards, I think I'm right in saying that we've won more Pride in the Job Awards than any other house builder for 13 years. So.
Great. Thanks very much. It's interesting.
We will now take our next question from Glynis Johnson from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Morning, everybody. I have three, if I may. The first one is just in terms of your land buying intentions. I just wonder if you can give us a bit more colour in terms of the reason for the increase. I'm wondering if it's an increase in terms of the number of sites, whether the sites are getting bigger, and that's what's translating into the higher number of plots that you're indicating you look to approve. The second one is on the statement of intent that's come out of the HBF this morning, in terms of the number of homes that will be built. I wonder if maybe you can give us your read across on that and what it means for Barratt. And then lastly, unfortunately coming back to London, I just wonder if you can just in terms of what we've seen second half, have there been any bulk sales in the second half of this year, in your second half? And just in terms of that Help to Buy number, if you can just clarify, the 25% that was using, the 20% Help to Buy, have all of those now swapped the 38%, are they all now on 40% Help to Buy, just so we've got the right comparables?
Right, okay. Glynis, good morning. So if I just run through those, I think in terms of land buying, I mean, when we did half-year results, we highlighted the fact that the average site size had increased. And a reason why the average site size had increased was because we had around 2,500 plots coming through from strategic on conversion. Now, we would measure those sites at this point as having one outlet or having two outlets, either Barrett or David Wilson. But the reality is when you look at our large sites, so for example, we have a large site in Bedford, to the west of Bedford, where we are presently running 5 active sales outlets on the site. And we have run as many as 6 on the site. So I think when we come to the delivery of the land, we'll obviously be working hard to bring down the average site size on delivery. In terms of the increase, well, typically we are looking at sites that have got a four or five year duration. I mean, that will be typical of our sites. And we see that with the underpin of Help to Buy through to 2021, that increasing volumes, as we said, on a 3 to 5% range, looks to be a sensible strategy, clearly particularly in the regional market. As we've talked about previously, we haven't been able to secure land in Zone 1 and the edge of Zone 2 for some period of time. In terms of the HBF position, my understanding is that all of the major house builders are effectively signatories to the statement of intent. I think it's to us and to the house builders is clearly very positive. There, you know, we are frequently asked questions about, well, what could the government do if they were unhappy about volume? And I think our response is that, you know, any, let's say, sanctions would probably tend to be counterproductive in relation to producing more volume. And the fact that the house builders and the government have reached a position of intent, then that clearly has to be a positive. And I'm sure the government would view it as a positive. I mean, we've increased our output at Barrett by around 50% in the last 5 years, and we certainly see that we have scope for further growth, and it's clearly a very, very strong backdrop. So that, you know, that seems to be a good position in terms of the HBF government position. And then just finally on the Help to Buy, I think to answer the question, I mean, clearly last year everything was on the 20% scheme, and this year some of it is 20% and some of it's 40%, but bear in mind that the 40% just came in from the 1st of February. Now, we don't know at this stage how much of the 40% is pent-up demand and how much of it will be sustainable, so I wouldn't necessarily say it will be 38% forever, but what it does indicate is that there is a very, very significant step up. And when you look at the metrics for a purchaser, so if you're buying a £500,000 home, then the 40% allows you to buy that on a salary of around £65,000, whereas the 20% you would have needed a salary of around £85,000. So it clearly hugely widens the catchment for potential purchasers, and is just another example, another tool as such for the house builders, in that it makes new build incredibly attractive to a purchaser relative to second hand when you look at the respective mortgage costs.
And just the bulk selling so far in the first, in the second half of the year?
Oh yeah, no, sorry Glynis, no, we've not had bulk sales coming through in the second half. I mean, as we said, we're actively looking at options, but it's very, very unlikely to be for the second half of this financial year.
Okay. And just in terms of that high-end £1 million and above properties, HPI? Are we seeing incentives start to pick up? Have you seen prices start to be compromised in order to keep those reservations at that 44, compared to the 46?
I think at this stage it's been much more about a slowing of the rate of sale. I mean, we've done a little bit of stuff around the edges about stamp duty offers and so on, but when you're looking at product that's being sold at in excess of £1 million, it's kind of round the edges, really. I mean, our stamp duty offer has been in relation to the additional 3% stamp duty, which clearly is something that's only come into the market since April. So our sense is that if you look on the websites of the developers in London, there isn't a mass of red saying, reduced now. So our sense is that it's not about prices altering in the primary market. It's more about a slowdown in the rate of sale. And I think now people will just be waiting to see what the market is like post the Brexit referendum. I think that's the reality, whether you're a purchaser or whether you're a house builder.
Thank you.
Thanks, Glynis.
Again, as a reminder to ask a question today, please press star 1. We will now take our next question from Mark Howson from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Just a couple of points. Firstly, maybe I wasn't listening quite as well as I should have done on the HPI comment. Can you just refresh what your view is for HPI for the year just gone? And secondly, the other one was on sort of starter homes. What are you sort of thinking about in terms of construction techniques to deliver that type of product cheaper to the market? Are you looking to change or introduce more sort of low cost construction techniques to affect that?
Good morning. I mean, if I talk about starter homes, and Neil will come back on HPI. So in terms of starter homes, clearly, there is a bit of a journey going on here in relation to starter homes. I think the government are very committed to the starter home initiative. We see it as being a very positive initiative in that it brings in another category of affordable housing. It will clearly have a very, very wide appeal and will simply act in some way as a replacement for affordable rental or affordable shared ownership. So, very positive from that point of view. I don't need to run through, because I'm sure everyone is aware, that there is clearly a toing and froing between the House of Lords and the House of Commons. I'm sure that will be resolved, and we would expect starter homes to be coming into the market for sale perhaps as early as the end of calendar 16, but clearly only in a very small way at that time. And then it will gain momentum in 17 as planning consents start to incorporate starter homes. I think the product in terms of quality will clearly be the same as the existing quality that the respective builders are providing. In terms of the type of properties, because it is starter homes and there will be pre-qualification conditions, we would expect it to be 2- and 3-bedroom properties, houses, and 1- and 2-bedroom apartments. So that, again, we believe is a positive, is that if there is a differentiation of product type. One of the characteristics of the industry over the last few years is that even low-rise flatted developments have largely been moved away from in the regional marketplace. So back in 06-07, some people, including ourselves, may have been building high towers in Birmingham or Leeds and so on, but we were also building a lot of low-level flatted developments, so 2- and 3-storey or 3- and 4-storey flatted developments. So I think that will be a feature that comes back into the market as a result of starter homes. So lots more to be determined, and I'm sure some of it will be played out in public. And I would imagine when we get to September in terms of our preliminary results, then the legal position will be clear, and the intentions from a product perspective will then be clear.
Just in terms of the HPI comments, I mean, we formally commented on this at the interims, saying we thought we'd probably seen, you know, low single-digit underlying HPI. Obviously, the bulk of our average selling price growth comes from mix changes. Whilst it's difficult to be analytical in the way that we look at this over a relatively short period of time, we're certainly not seeing anything anecdotally to form us to cause us to form any different view on this.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
We will now take our next question from Howard Seymour from Numis. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Morning, gents.
Good morning.
Just a quick one probably from me. I know affordable is a smaller part of the business, but is there any specific reason or is it timing why on the forward sales the affordable would have been materially higher than the private?
Okay, I mean, in terms of affordable, I mean, as a generalisation, the affordable tends to come from the commencement of the site in relation to the affordable contract. So therefore, we will recognise forward order books as the affordable contract is signed. So I think that's just indicative of the fact that, you know, we've got site opening scheduled, whether you're looking over the next 3 months or over the next 6 months. So nothing material in terms of a change to the expectation of delivery through the P&L. We would still expect completions coming through the P&L from affordable to be in a, you know, 16% to 18% sort of range.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you very much.
We will now take our next question from Andy Murphy from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Morning again. I just wanted to follow up on your material cost inflation comment from earlier. Can you just give us a flavour for what's changing? Because I think you must be one of the first house builders, if not the first, to comment on material costs rising. I was wondering what particular materials you're talking about and to what extent you're seeing inflation pressures there.
Andy, good morning. I'm not sure you're allowed to come back on for another question, but
sorry, let me know.
Okay, no, fine. I mean, okay, so probably just my terminology, because we said in February that material costs were going to rise to June by a little less than 1%. So I think in my commentary I'm saying, well, we are seeing inflationary pressures in relation to materials, but it is a little less than 1%. But nonetheless, materials are going up. Overall, we expect around 3% to 4% for June. So clearly, we're firm on that number, and the vast majority of that inflation is being driven through subcontract labour. The material backdrop, as you know, has been heavily influenced by energy, oil and energy prices. So clearly how that pans out over the next 12 to 18 months will just require some view in terms of what is going to happen to oil prices. We tend to fix forward for 6 months or 12 months. And again, we'll update a view on that in September, because we should be largely forward fixed through to June 17 by then.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
As there are no further questions in the queue, that will conclude today's question and answer session. I would now like to turn you back to David Thomas for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, that's fine. Thanks, everyone, for dialing in. Thank you very much for the questions, and we'll talk to you again in July.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.